not sure it could. They say time heals everything, but I'm still waiting. I'm through with doubt. There's nothing left for me to figure out. I've paid a price.
I'm not ready to make nice, and I'm not ready to back down. Michael Herzog back with you for the second hour of the American Awakening. And, boy, what a guy. And Tex Mars, just a brilliant guy. And, you know, he's gone now. He's a very busy guy, and he's got a lot going on. He's a guest on many, many talk shows across the country. But I want to take a few minutes here because I'm really serious, folks. I picked this book up, and I just started perusing through the pictures, and it started hitting me. My subconscious all of a sudden opened up, and I said, wow, I've seen that sign before. I've seen those symbols before. Okay, and then it started coming back to me about speeches I've seen where Bill Clinton or George Bush or somebody would get up on the air, on the airwaves, and they'd be talking. Once you read this book and once you see these symbols, it's almost like learning a different language. And then you know when these people are lying to you. And I'm going to read something. The chapter one of this book is just, I mean, it warns you right away, just from the onset of this. Let me read just a couple paragraphs here to show you what you're opening up when you buy this book, folks. Caution, you are now entering the forbidden zone. What you will read and see in this book is forbidden to you. Discovering these things could be highly dangerous to your health. Forbidden knowledge is sweet, but it's also deadly. Many men have died for revealing far fewer secrets than are found herein. I am not overdramatic or attempting to be sensational. This is a warning. Make very sure that you possess the daring and the courage to proceed before you go any further. Lingering in my mind are the names of courageous men who have gone before you and me and are now dead because they exposed the forbidden knowledge of the illuminated ones. Captain William Morgan, abducted, kidnapped, and ritually murdered, his lifeless body dumped in a lake after he published a book unmasking Masonic secrets. Danny Casalero, suicided, having his wrists cut and bleeding to death in a hotel room where he had gone to meet a confidential source. Paul Wilcher, found nude, his body stiff as it sat on a toilet in his home, only days after he mailed his expose manuscript to U.S. Attorney General, get this, Janet Reno. And Wolfgang Amadeus Mozart, the world-famous classical composer who paid the ultimate penalty, the aqua tofeta, arsenic poisoning that wrecked his body. Poor Mozart, he too had revealed some of the secrets of Freemasonry. Blackballed by the order, so frightened were his friends and family that not one human soul so much as attended his funeral. It is said that Mozart's faithful dog followed dutifully behind the lonely funeral wagon. The sad and forlorn canine was the only living creature in sight as the body of the man all Europe had once toasted and applauded was taken to his burial site. So I ask you, dear friend, once again, do you dare to discover the secrets many have punished for merely knowing, let alone revealing? Are you sure, very sure, you want to enter the forbidden zone? And, you know, if you read that before you go in and look at some of these pictures, you'll say, oh, come on, that's nonsense. But as you go through this, if you don't even read the book, if you just go through and look at the pictures of these people, well-known people that are making these signs, then you go back and you understand and read what the signs mean. You've just deciphered a language of the Illuminati. Michael Herzog, The American Awakening, will be back in a few. RepublicBroadcasting.org and 12180 Shortwave. Stick with me.
Can you grow your own nutrition on a shelf indoors in 10 days? Wheatgrass juice is live superfood, the richest nutritional liquid known to man, packed with amino acids, living enzymes, and over 100 elements. 2 ounces of juice have the same nutrition as 3 pounds of choice garden produce. Call 1-877-699-4328. That's 1-877-MY-WHEAT. The stamina, healing, blood building, weight control, and cleansing are just the beginnings of what you will reap from pennies worth of grain. For the book, seed, and the beautiful stainless steel hand crank wheatgrass juicer for $150 plus shipping. No monthly pills, no monthly bills. This is real self-sufficiency. Go to AustinWheatgrass.com or call toll-free 1-877-MY-WHEAT. That's 1-877-699-4328. And thank you for your support of our labors and of the RBN Network.
Americans who already realize our nation is in deep trouble need special edition hard copy literature to awaken the widest possible spectrum of people to the imminence of our nation's peril. The Artificially Sweetened Times informs people that the artificial sweetener aspartame is a hidden addiction killing people worldwide with a cluster of symptoms we now call Rumsfeld's disease. Find out who's responsible for unleashing this weapon of mass misery on the world and become part of the global movement to eliminate this neurotoxic drug from our food supply. The People's Income Tax Guide cites congressional records, Supreme Court decisions, and newspaper articles at the time to prove conclusively that wages were never intended to be taxed as income. A lot has happened in the world since 9/11. The report of the Citizens Commission on 9/11 disproves the government's explanation of September 11 through a careful analysis of the evidence. The Artificially Sweetened Times, the People's Income Tax Report, and the report of the Citizens Commission on 9/11 are priced for mass distribution. Sample copies are just $3. Call 208-255-2307 or go to idaho-observer.com.
It's true. Gold and silver have been a source of true wealth for years. In fact, people around the world have used these metals to buy and sell goods for over 5,000 years. And gold and silver will continue to be a source of true wealth for the foreseeable future. If you look back in history, you'll see that all fiat currencies have failed to maintain wealth or failed altogether. But gold has always protected its holder, a true asset, usable to anyone around the globe. As the value of your Federal Reserve note continues to depreciate, gold will be your only insurance. As an example, in 1975, you could buy a $40,000 home with 1,000 gold coins. Today, that same house is $400,000, yet you can still buy it with 1,000 gold coins. To find out more information on how to protect your wealth, call Republic Trading at 1-800-691-7898. That's 1-800-691-7898.
I'm not ready to make nice. I'm not ready to back down.
All right, Michael Herzog back with the American Awakening in the second hour. Listen, I want to apologize to all the listeners. I only had Tex for a very, very short period of time, and I had so much more I wanted to cover with him. He's a very busy guy. I was going to open up the phone lines, but the time just wasn't permitting. I'm going to do so now. I'll open up the lines and let you call me, 800-313-9443, if you got a question or comment. But again, I want to emphasize to you guys, go in there and to powerofprophecy.com and order this book. I'm telling you, it's $35 well spent. I've got my engineer coming in here trying to grab the book from me. He grabbed it during the break and read a few pages, and he wants it. It's one of those books, you pick it up and you just cannot put it down. And it's an easy language to read. And once you've learned how to read these signs, you can pretty well tell what kind of communications are going on.
We sell that book.
Yes. Oh, we sell that book. Okay. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and order the book. No? Oh, I'm sorry. John's in here. What? Oh, call the office? Okay. Folks, call 1-800-724-2719 and order a copy of this book. John just came in here and advised me that we sell the book as well. So listen, if you want to kill two birds with one stone, and you want to get a copy of this fantastic book along with supporting republicbroadcasting.org, please give us a call. I would appreciate it. Again, I'll open up the phone lines, 800-313-9443. And as Tex mentioned when he was on the line, there's a new book that he's written the foreword of, Synagogue to Satan. As soon as I get my hands on that and read it, I'm going to have Tex back up here. You know, when I went down the rabbit hole and I started getting enlightened to who it is that really is behind the scenes pulling the strings of our elected politicians, and I started realizing what was going on, I started watching the news. I got to the point where I couldn't even watch it anymore. But you can watch these people's body language, and once, as the patriots out there know, once you know what's happening, once you know what their real agenda is, once you've gone down and you've done the research on it, you can pretty much tell when they're lying. Or you'll know when they're lying by what they tell you, in essence, with what you're reading, which is the exact opposite. For example, the North American Union. Last time I saw George Bush made a speech, once I knew when he was lying, I then proceeded to watch his body language. And curiously enough, when George Bush tells a lie, he will smirk and he will stick his tongue just a little bit through his teeth, and his eyes will open up a little wide and he'll look for appreciation. When he gets a rousing ovation by the Republican side of the House or whatever, you'll see that action. You'll see the tongue come out and you'll see a little smirk on his face. That's when you know he's lying. But I would have never known that unless I went through and did the research. Just some food for thought there. Okay. Let's see. I'm going to close this for now. Some other things I wanted to go into in the second hour. I made an announcement at the beginning of the show. They informed me that for all the listeners, if you can, to get a hold of your congressman, because this Russian intelligence report – I'm shifting gears, by the way this Russian intelligence report that is coming out about the possibility of an attack on Iran for April 6th, and it's an aerial attack, and evidently there's some troops that are poised at the border. I read that article the other day. It was by Webster Tarpley, but there's another one here I want to go into. It's called Easter Surprise, Attack on Iran, New 9/11 or Worse, and it's by Heather Walkush. It starts with a couple of lines that I know you folks have heard before. See if you can remember this, and I quote, "There's an old saying in Tennessee, I know it's in Texas, probably in Tennessee, that says, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me, you can't get fooled again." Who said that? George W. Bush, September of 2002. One more. Quote, "This notion that the United States is getting ready to attack Iran is simply ridiculous. Having said that, all options are on the table." George W. Bush, February 2005. Remember those statements? "The Bush administration continues moving closer to a nuclear attack on Iran, and we ignore the obvious buildup at our peril. Russian media are sounding alarms. In February, ultranationalist leader Vladimir Shirinovsky warned that the U.S. would launch a strike against Tehran at the end of this month. Then last week, the Russian news and information agency, Novosti, quoted military experts predicting the U.S. will attack Iran on April 6th, Good Friday. According to RIA Novosti, the imminent assault will target Iranian and naval defense capabilities, armed forces headquarters, as well as key economic assets and administration headquarters. Massive air attacks will be deployed, possibly tactical nuclear weapons as well, and the Bush administration will attempt to exploit the resulting chaos and political unrest by installing a pro-U.S. government." Tell me, does that sound familiar? It's Iraq deja vu all over again, and we know how well that war has gone. Seymour Hersh has published numerous articles in The New Yorker detailing the Bush administration's plan to invade Iran. His latest, quote, "The Redirection," unquote, discusses U.S. participation in Iran-based clandestine operations, the kidnapping of hundreds of Iranians, including many humanitarian and aid workers, by U.S. forces, and the shocking revelation that an Iran-Contra-type scandal has been run out of Vice President Dick Cheney's office, with some of the illicit funds going to groups sympathetic to al-Qaeda. The Redirection also reports that the Pentagon has been planning to bomb Iran for a year, and that a recently established group connected to the Joint Chiefs of Staff is formulating an assault strategy to be implemented upon orders from the president within 24 hours. Hersh notes that current capabilities allow for an attack order this spring, possibly when four U.S. aircraft carrier battle groups are scheduled to be in the Persian Gulf simultaneously. And I think they're there, folks. At least two of them I know are there. Meanwhile, the Democratic Congress busies itself with non-binding, timid resolutions on Iraq and recently altered a military funding bill to make it easier for Bush to invade Iran. Remember Pelosi just did that? As Representative Shelley Berkley, Democrat of Nevada, explained, the language demanding that Bush seek congressional approval before attacking Iran would, quote, take away perhaps the most important negotiating tool that the U.S. has when it comes to Iran, unquote. Such sheer ignorance and blind denial would be laughable if it weren't marching us into Armageddon. But with this administration and this Congress, apparently, diplomacy be damned. It's now widely known that Iran had broached peace talks with the U.S. in 2003. Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice admitted as much in 2006 when she said, quote, what the Iranians wanted earlier was to be one-on-one with the United States, unquote. Yet the White House rejected Tehran's overture outright, and Rice has since developed selective amnesia, later saying of the Iranian proposal, quote, I don't remember saying any such thing, unquote. Do you remember that, folks? For its part, the UN Security Council recently tightened sanctions aimed at pressuring Iran to cease uranium enrichment, and in response, Iran announced it would cooperate less with the International Atomic Energy Agency. It's worth noting that Iran is a signatory to the Nuclear Non-Proliferation Treaty and says that its program falls under the legally permitted right to, quote, peaceably use nuclear technology, unquote. In contrast, Israel has neither signed nor ratified the NPT, and the U.S. would breach the treaty by conducting a nuclear attack against Iran. Besides, the Bush administration's message to its enemies has been very clear. If you possess WMDs, you're safe, and if you don't, you're fair game. Iraq had no nuclear weapons and was invaded. Iran doesn't as well and risks attack. Yet that other, quote, axis of evil, unquote, country, North Korea, reportedly does have nuclear weapons, and they leave them alone. When considering that India and Pakistan and presumably Israel develop secret nuclear weapons programs, yet remain on good terms with Washington, the case for war becomes even more tenuous. So you have to ask yourself, I'm going to stop right there for a minute, but you have to ask yourself, if they don't have any weapons of mass destruction, which we know that they don't, and North Korea does, then why are we going after Iran and not North Korea? I'm going to tell you the answer to that in just a minute, but let me read on here. What consequences would arise from an attack on Iran? Retaliation, for one. Tehran promised a crushing response to any U.S. or Israeli assault, and while the country, ironically, doesn't possess nuclear weapons to scare off attackers, it does have other options. Iran boasts a standing army estimated at 450,000 personnel, as well as long-range missiles that could hit Israel and probably even Europe. In addition, much of the world's oil supply is transported through the Strait of Hormuz, a narrow stretch of water which Iran borders to the north. In 1997, Iran's deputy foreign minister warned that the country might close off that shipping route if ever threatened, and it wouldn't be difficult. Just a few missiles or gunboats could bring down vessels to block the strait, thereby threatening the global oil supply and shooting the price of crude oil to over $100 a barrel, with untold negative consequences for the world economy. What does that mean to us? If in fact they were to pull off an attack on Iran on April 6, according to the Russian intelligence agency, our gas is going to go to $10 a gallon, and that's the minimum that could happen. Now, I don't know how many of you work out there, how many of you can afford to drive back and forth to work on $10 a gallon, but it wouldn't be easy. Let me continue. An attack on Iran would also inflame tensions in the Middle East and could tip the scales towards a new geopolitical balance, one in which the U.S. finds itself shut out by Russia, China, Iran, Muslim countries, and many others. Bush has managed to alienate during his period in office. The most horrific impact of a U.S. assault on Iran, of course, would be the potentially catastrophic number of casualties. The Oxford Research Group predicted that up to 10,000 people would die if the U.S. bombed Iran's nuclear sites, and that an attack on the Beshwer nuclear reactor could send a radioactive cloud over the Gulf. I'll stop right there. Got a commercial break coming up. I'll be back in a few. This is Michael Herzog, RepublicBroadcasting.org and 12180 Shortwave. Stick with me.
Since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy has been the global supplier of the finest natural medicines. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECX, colloidal silver, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for chemtrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. Why wait any longer? Go ahead and do it today. Sign up on the web and receive our new 120-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com and check out the online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education. That's herbalhealer.com.
People who use Cartivite know about the pollutants in our body and want them out. For over 5 years, Cartivite has proven itself time-tested. Here's Dr. Mattson, a naturopathic doctor's thoughts on Cartivite.
In our mind, there isn't such a great big mystery to disease anymore. This basic tenet of yeast in the gut and metals in the liver covers at least 70-80% of the diseases that we see. When we do our program, you know, herbal formulas like Cartivite, and you see someone who could barely walk up a hill now going for regular jogs, few months later, we know we're doing something right. It's a well-thought-out formula. I mean, the idea of it working on yeast and metals both at the same time and liver function is dead on. You'll find, I think, that it'll work more than just on heart problems and circulation problems. It'll work on other problems as well.
For more information, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit our Cartivite link at rbnlive.com. That toll-free number again, 1-877-928-8822.
In the United States, it is now estimated that over 90% of family income is now being used to pay back consumer debt. Because of financial problems, mostly from credit card debt, approximately 1 in 4 families struggle to pay bills on even basic necessities such as mortgage, food, and utilities. And with millions of people desperately searching for a fresh start, North American Educational Services is here to help you regain your financial independence. We are very proud that the Debt Relief Educational Services Program has helped over 8,100 families nationwide since 1998, eliminating over $215 million of credit card debt, and still counting, and enabled clients to stop monthly payments immediately. The NAES program is unique, designed to help you, the consumer, not your creditors. To take back your financial freedom, call 1-888-245-7097. That's 1-888-245-7097. Or visit www.integritydebtoptions.com.
Michael Herzog back. I'm not ready to make nice, not ready to back down. This is the American Awakening. Got about 4 minutes in this segment. I'm going to finish this article up. Folks, and this is serious, you need to get on the phone and call your congressman and tell him we do not want war with Iran. The backlash from this could be very devastating. Let me continue. If the U.S. uses nuclear weapons such as earth-penetrating, quote, bunker buster, unquote, bombs, radioactive fallout would become even more disastrous. The devastating implications of a U.S. strike on Iran are clear, and that begs the question, how could the U.S. public be convinced to enter another potentially ugly and protracted war? Former CIA officer Philip Giraldi chillingly noted that the Pentagon's plans to attack Iran were drawn up, quote, to be employed in response to another 9/11-type terrorist attack on the United States, unquote. Writing in the American Conservative in August of 2005, Giraldi added, quote, the plan includes a large-scale air assault on Iran employing both conventional and tactical nuclear weapons. With Iran, there are more than 450 major strategic targets, including numerous suspected nuclear weapons program development sites. As in the case of Iraq, the response is not conditional on Iran actually being involved in the act of terrorism directed against the United States, unquote. Now, chew on that a minute. The Pentagon's plans would be in response to a terrorist attack on the U.S., but not contingent upon Iran actually having been responsible? How outlandish is this scenario? Another 9/11 hits the U.S. The administration says it has secret information implicating Iran. The U.S. population demands retribution, and the bombs start dropping on Tehran. While even contemplating another 9/11 brings shudders, it's worth noting that last year Congress quietly approved provision making it easier for the president to declare federal martial law after the domestic terrorist incident. I brought that up on a show the other day. And recall that in late 2003, General Tommy Franks openly speculated on how a new 9/11 could lead to a military form of government. Quote, a terrorist, massive casualty-producing event somewhere in the Western world, it may be in the United States of America, that causes our population to question our own constitution and begin to militarize our country in order to avoid a repeat of another mass casualty-producing event, which in fact then begins to unravel the fabric of our constitution, unquote. Meanwhile, Iran conducted war games in the Persian Gulf last week, and just yesterday, the U.S. Navy began its largest maneuvers in the region since 2003 Iraq invasion, complete with over 100 U.S. warplanes and 10,000 personnel. The clock is ticking, and there's far too much at stake. If you're from the U.S., contact your senators today and congressmen, like I said, and ask them to support the Webb Amendment prohibiting the administration from attacking Iran without congressional approval. Tell them to support the Senator Patrick Leahy and Senator Kit Bond bill making it harder for Bush to declare martial law and take over the National Guard. And while you're at it, tell your senators to only fund troop withdrawal and to bring the troops home. Thank those Congress members who voted against more war funding. Thank you so much for that article. Very well written, Heather Wakushk. Now, I told you I was going to tell you the real reason why they want to attack Iran. There's a number of them, but here's just one of them. Iran planning to stop using the U.S. dollar to price oil, central bank governor says. I guess that'd be a good reason, wouldn't it? Since Iran is the fourth largest oil-producing country in the world, and they've basically said, you know what, United States of America, we are tired of using your inflated dollars that lose value because you print money like, or Bernanke is printing money and dropping it out of helicopters like there's no tomorrow. We're going to quit using your dollars. The United States doesn't want that to happen because the dollar gets devalued. You see, they're devaluing the dollar. And all of this is going to come back home to roost on our economy. So I'm going to read this article to you. Let's see. Manny, I've got a break in how long? 2 minutes? I got 2 minutes? All right. I'll start this out. Kuala Lumpur. This is by the Associated Press, by the way. Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia. Iran is planning to stop using the U.S. dollar to price oil. With less than half of its oil income now paid in U.S. currency, Iran's central bank governor said. That's the plan for the future. We are working on that, Governor Ebrahim Shebeni said in an interview with Zawa Dow Jones News Service late Tuesday. When asked if Iran was planning to stop pricing oil in dollars, he was speaking on the sidelines of an Islamic finance forum in Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia's largest city. In global markets, oil is priced in U.S. dollars per barrel. More than 50% of Iran's oil income is paid in other currencies. We are reducing the dollar share and asking clients to pay in other currencies, Shebeni said. Shebeni said that almost all of Iran's European clients and some of its Asian customers have accepted making payments in non-dollar currencies. Even if we get dollars, we directly convert it to other currencies. The Japanese don't mind paying us in yen, for example, he said. Shebeni noted that Iran has earned more than $45 billion from oil sales during the current fiscal year, which ended March 20th. Washington is leading efforts to isolate Iran over what it claims is Tehran's bid to build atomic bombs. The United States has imposed sanctions on two big state banks and has urged international firms to avoid doing business with Iran, the world's fourth largest oil exporter. It insists its nuclear plans are aimed at producing electricity so it can conserve its oil and gas resources for export and also to prepare for the day when its huge energy reserves run out. Iran is doing fine without economic relations with Washington, and it has perfect control in keeping its currency stable, Shebeni said. We do not have a problem. We are trading with more than 70 countries, including in Asia and Europe, the governor said. Iran's central bank is also shifting to holding its foreign reserves in a basket of 20 currencies and away from U.S. dollars, which now make up less than 20% of its reserves, Shebeni said. Shebeni had left Malaysia on Wednesday and was not immediately available for details. So that's one of the reasons why we want to attack them. Not us, but these criminal actions or actors in the government. Michael Herzog, The American Awakening, coming up on our break. Stick with me at republicbroadcasting.org and 12180 shortwave. See you in a few.
Mm-hmm. You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
The Idaho Observer is one of the last independent American presses and isn't afraid to print the truth. The Idaho Observer is a monthly 24-page hard copy newspaper in its fifth year of addressing important issues affecting all freedom-loving Americans. If you are concerned about the burgeoning national debt and the Orwellian police state growing up around you, then subscribe to the Idaho Observer. Only $25 for 12 monthly issues. Idaho Observer readers receive vital insight into events as they unfold. Our articles editorially emphasize activism and serve as a networking tool for like-minded individuals determined to make a difference. The Idaho Observer, printing what you need to be fully informed on issues that matter to real Americans. Go to idaho-observer.com or call 208-255-2307. That's 208-255-2307.
Gold, ever climbing, as the dollar continues to spiral into a free fall. How long before it hits rock bottom? Between 1800 and 1913, the value of the dollar was more or less constant. Since the creation of the Federal Reserve in 1913, the value of the dollar has depreciated 97%. Due to global inflationary policies and the continued erosion of the U.S. dollar, gold and silver are still in the early stages of the greatest bull market the world has ever seen. Whether you purchase precious metals to stabilize your portfolio or you're looking for strong growth, gold and silver will provide you with both. Don't you owe it to yourself to do business with Republic Trading Group? Call us today and become a part of the raging bull in gold and silver. 1-800-691-7898. That's 1-800-691-7898. Call now. 1-800-691-7898.
Hi, Steve Shank, Fearless Task Force. The J. Michael Stevens Group is shipping a lot of storable food. It's smart that you're getting going at your food supplies. 1 week after the report came out that the world had eaten more food than it produced last year, the country turned into a deep freeze, wiping out a huge part of the new crop. An example? In 24 hours, clementine oranges doubled in price. If you intend to start or finish your supply, call immediately. When you call, tell them how many adults and how many years of food you need. When there are shortages, missing items will be substituted, maintaining the quantity of food necessary. Money is not the problem. Availability is. Be careful. When food supplies get short, with no future, many retailers ship real trash to supply you. For safe food you can trust, call 800-409-5633. On the web, efoodsdirect.com. 800-409-5633.
Back. Michael Herzog with the American Awakening, coming to you live from Round Rock, Texas. You know what's interesting to me is I have these guests on, and it just seems like it's like we're all connected. One thing ties into another, which ties into another, which ties into another. If you remember, you know, I had Ted Pike on the other day, and I was enlightened. I went in and saw one of his videos on YouTube, fascinating video, and found out that the ADL, which, you know, up to now I didn't know a heck of a lot about, to be honest with you, is an arm of the B'nai B'rith, who is it's the propaganda arm, and they also have an intelligence arm. And it seems like these people keep rearing their ugly heads. I pulled a couple of articles today on the We the People Foundation on taxes, and then the ADL has an article that came out on the tax protest movement, slamming all of these people that are in the tax honesty movement. So the ADL, yes, definitely is a propaganda arm. If I have time, I'll go into it. But I want to give you a bit of good news first. And by the way, the lines are open. If you want to give a call to me, it's 800-313-9443. I feel a little bit lonely behind the microphone here. Nobody's calling me. The good news, though, listen to this. And this ties in, too. Talking about tying things up. Listen to this one, okay? Here we are. We went into Iraq on this phony weapons of mass destruction thing, which we find out later that Saddam Hussein did not have. Okay, and now we're throwing up all this propaganda about Iran's going to have a nuclear bomb, and they're going to blow us up, blah, 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 blah. Our own CIA says that that's not true, and it's going to be another 10 years. So I've got this article here, the only piece of good news. Here's a world news, okay? War crime suit filed against Donald Rumsfeld. Now remember, right after the election, they didn't let Donald Rumsfeld go, and they put Bob Gates in there, who I've heard strong rumor was the inventor of Al-Qaeda, but I'm not going to go into that today. Let me read this one to you real quick. Former U.S. Secretary of Defense Donald Rumsfeld could face charges of war crimes after a lawsuit was filed against him in Germany. According to the German magazine Der Spiegel, a number of German prosecutors in a 384-page document filed a lawsuit against 15 U.S. politicians, including Rumsfeld. Others include Alberto Gonzalez, the former U.S. attorney, or the current U.S. attorney general, hopefully not for long, CIA Director George Tenet, and Lieutenant General Ricardo S. Sanchez, the U.S. general who served as commander of coalition forces in Iraq from June 2003 to June 2004. According to the document, the aforementioned U.S. politicians violated both the international law and the United Nations Convention against Torture in Abu Ghraib prison and the Guantanamo Bay detention camp. Germany's federal prosecutor Monica Harms will reach a decision on the issue during the coming weeks. Spiegel reported that politically it's a time bomb, which could cause serious problems for U.S.-German relations. Hello? Yes, I would think so. This is while German Chancellor Angela Merkel has made a persistent effort in the recent months to cultivate close ties with Germany's overseas ally. Tell me something. Do you think it's possible? I mean, is there some way that we could kind of trick Rummy into maybe taking a trip to Germany? Wouldn't that be nice? But anyway, that's the good news. Okay, so here's this guy, this former Secretary of Defense that Germany's indicting for war crimes. So what do? He's gone after the election. They put Bob Gates in. And Bob Gates is running in tandem, doing the same thing. I don't know. I don't know what to say. And the backlash on this, and, you know, for those of you who have been listening all week, I've announced it all week. I've got Art Burnclow coming on tomorrow. And for those of you who are just started listening today or don't know who he is, he's a veterans advocate for and the executive director of Veterans for Constitutional Law. I had a really good conversation with Art the other day, informing me of what's going on behind the scenes with the Veterans Administration and how they do everything they can do, throw these stumbling blocks into allowing these disabled veterans, our military, the guys that come home that went over and fought for us in Iraq and Afghanistan and maybe in Iran, who knows, and they get on TV and they say, rah, rah, support the troops, put the stickers on the back of your car, wave the flag, and yeah, yeah, we're all for them. But yet, then when they come home, the government does everything that they can do to get out of pay them any benefits. Now, does that sound like supporting him to you? So then, here we go. I'm tying it in again. I pull this article off of LouRockwell.com. And for those of you who don't know, Karen Kwiatkowski, lieutenant colonel that served in the military. She is a journalist now, I guess, and she writes for Lou Rockwell and probably a few other places. She's got an article called Buried Alive. And I'm going to bring this up when Art comes on my show tomorrow, but I'm going to read you some excerpts of this because it's interesting. It just sickens me to the point where, among other reasons, I threw my TV out about 6 months ago. I got so tired of listening after I went down the rabbit hole and I found out all these lies that they were telling. And I listened to Hannity and Combs and Bill O'Reilly and all these clowns spinning their garbage on people. Okay, I just threw my TV out. I can't take it anymore. Then I finally decided, okay, well, I better watch what the other side's doing. So I went and bought a TV, and lo and behold, I get it out of the box, and there's a big thing up on the screen that says, after February 17th, 2009, you won't be able to watch it anymore unless you buy a box from the government, which I'm sure is going to have a camera and a microphone in it. Hello? When does this stop? Let me get back to this. I'm going off on a tangent here. All right. Buried Alive by Karen Kwiatkowski. Screwed up, screwed over, and just plain screwed. The brutality of this language sadly fails to approximate what is happening to our soldiers and Marines in Iraq and afterwards. We knew that the invasion of Iraq was conducted without transparent or comprehensive planning. We knew that the fundamental objectives were hidden from the American people. Endless occupation, big permanent military bases, and the destruction, fragmentation of an American political and economic subjection of a once politically important Iraq. What we didn't know is that the administration's recklessness, greed, and callousness extended to the American soldiers and Marines who did the administration's dirty work, i.e. Halliburton, who charges them how much for lunch and dinner over there? Give me a break. Our American soldiers and Marines have done what our insane Washington leadership asked them to do, regardless of its fundamental unconstitutionality and idiocy. That alone, under Nuremberg rules, may ultimately be a war crime in some international court. Just following orders is not a valid defense. Our young men and women have killed, destroyed, or even tortured at the command of the state. For these choices, native to any war, there will be personal and private suffering for years to come. Now, this is a person who's been there and done that, folks. So listen to this. In any war, even a corrupt state owes its soldiers a certain standard of care. It owes its veteran a debt that is more than gratitude. In the case of America's all-volunteer military system, this standard of care for soldiers and the debt to veterans is spelled out in a contract of sorts. It is said that we are a nation of laws. My experience and observations as a military officer in an equal opportunity era confirmed that. But perhaps I only believe this because I was never deployed as a grunt soldier in Iraq. When it comes to protecting our young men and women in Iraq, we seem to be functioning in a collective fugue state. If serving in a forward combat role in Iraq, and also Afghanistan, if you are likely to be male, you are also lacking one or more of the following: a clear mission, quality leadership, the proper equipment, armor and training, a functional and wise set of standard operating procedures for suppressing a hostile local populace that does not speak your language nor share your customs. When you make a mistake or crack under pressure, you will be thrown to the legal wolves, unless, of course, you are a senior officer, in which case you'll have an excellent chance of being quickly promoted out of harm's way. If you are injured in combat, you will be rushed into the vast system of hospitals where you will vie for the attention of an overworked, very frustrated, and yet anonymous and unaccountable set of healthcare professionals who are increasingly overburdened. If you are female in uniform and deployed to Iraq, you face all of the above plus a few more: sexual harassment, pressure for sex from peers and superiors, abuse, rape, and even the chance of dying because you cannot safely hydrate yourself for fear of being raped in the night on your way to a latrine. These additive challenges face our female volunteers, and that's all before they come home to Walter Reed or Smallville, USA. The recent flurry of publicity and firings of military figureheads over the dilapidated state of medical care for our wounded and soon-to-be-medically-discharged Iraq and Afghanistan veterans speaks to one more Washington betrayal. We have seen an Army general of two fired in response to late-coming national publicity of abhorrent treatment to our maimed and recovering soldiers. But the real crime is much higher than 3 or 4 stars. The administration and the Pentagon didn't plan for the occupation of Iraq, because that planning would belie our public optimism, betray the propaganda of cakewalks and 1,000 flowers, and reveal the truth about the administration's 2003 forced march to war. Likewise, to have planned for 25,000 injured Iraq and Afghan veterans, many permanently crippled, blinded, disfigured, and brain damaged, and 100,000 psychological and emotional head cases trying to reintegrate into their normal lives, would have revealed the administration's Iraq narrative to be dead wrong. No matter the cost, the Bush-Cheney narrative must be seen as the, quote, reality. The lack of planning for medical and hospice care, rehabilitation, counseling, and therapy, as with the congressional decision to close/replace the premier military hospital in 2005, occurred even after the Pentagon, the administration, and the Congress had recognized the bloody human cost the Iraq occupation was bringing home. Instead of attending funerals and visiting amputees and paraplegics at Walter Reed, the administration and the Pentagon seized the opportunity to spend more tax money and get new stuff. Even though that would mean an immediate cutoff of improvement and maintenance funds for Walter Reed, filled to overflowing already with sick soldiers. Bush doesn't like to veto legislation unless it offends his religiously couched love of life, or prevents him from going to war with whomever he pleases, whenever he wants, and for no particular reason. We knew Bush and Cheney had nothing but contempt for the Iraqi and Afghani people. Apparently that attempt extends to serving American as well. Had either Bush or Cheney or Rumsfeld and Wolfowitz cared about the impacts of their war play on the people of this country, they would have dealt with this well-known medical care shortfall, shown concern over what BRAC listing Walter Reed would mean to our recovering veterans. These so-called leaders would have demanded executable plans to ensure both the bureaucratic and medical capacity was sufficient. But neither Bush nor Cheney care one whit for the fighting soldiers, and neither wishes to be reminded of the shattered limbs and lives left when the fighting is done. The ugly truth doesn't fit their carefully constructed narrative of, quote, winning, and, quote, wars on terror, and, quote, patriotism. As a Bush aide explained to Ron Suskind a few years ago, we're an empire now, and when we act, we create our own reality. That reality means not only are the hapless targets of our imperialism screwed, but so is every serving soldier and marine in Iraq. At least in the Roman army, the Milites could expect to share in the booty of conquered lands. In the American Empire, that privilege is reserved for Halliburton, as our wasted foot soldiers are buried alive. This article originally appeared in militaryweek.com. It was from March 23rd, and again, it was by Karen Kwiatkowski, and thank you very much. It was a very well-done article, Karen. I put an email into Karen. I want to see if I can get her up on my show. I've got, again, Art Bernclau coming on tomorrow, and we're going to talk in a little bit more depth about what's going on with these veterans, and he's going to share some stories with you about the experiences of our veterans returning home from doing their duty over in Iraq, going over there on a lie, risking life and limb, sometimes coming home disabled, totally disabled, brain injuries, leg injury, coming back without limbs, okay, and then having to face this bureaucratic system of which does everything they can do to deny them benefits. What's the matter with these people? What's the matter with this administration? I know. Do you? Well, all right, moving right along. Again, I'll put out the calls. I'm all alone here behind the microphone. Michael Herzog, 313-800-313-9443. Give me a call if you have a comment. I wonder if I should get into this tax thing. Okay, well. Article by We the People Foundation. The tax honesty movement. Our kid, and they're talking about DV Kid, who, by the way, is going to be on my show next week. Larry B. Kraft, Joe Bannister, and Ed Schultz. Extremist? Is it? Yeah. As we reported in our previous article, the upcoming Give Me Liberty 2007 conference will examine U.S. Middle East policy through the prism of the U.S. Constitution. During the conference, we will examine the work of professors at Mearsheimer University of Chicago and Walt Harvard University titled The Israel Lobby and U.S. Foreign Policy, and the book Jimmy Carter titled Palestine, Peace, Not Apartheid. Substantial documentary evidence presented by Mearsheimer, Walt, and Carter supports the argument that the United States has abandoned its own national interest and security to advance the interest of Israel, that neither strategic nor moral arguments can justify Americans' unconditional support for Israel, and that the United States has become the de facto enabler of Israel's unlawful expansion and military occupation of Palestinian territories, and that U.S. policy in the Middle East, including giving Israel well over $140 billion in U.S. income tax revenues, has been driven by the activities of the Israel lobby. Here we go, back to the ADL. Remember them? The propaganda and the intelligence arm. Their work documents how the Israeli lobby unashamedly boasts of its control over U.S. domestic and foreign policy and public opinion and attacks any person or organization that criticizes or is perceived to be a threat to Israel's interests. According to Mearsheimer and Walt, we used the, quote, lobby as a convenient term for the loose coalition of individuals and organizations who actively work to shape U.S. policy in a pro-Israel direction. The core of the lobby is comprised of American Jews who make a significant effort in their daily lives to bend U.S. foreign policy so that it advances Israel's interest. Referring to them as, quote, extremists, the lobby has attacked columnist D.V. Kidd, constitutional attorney Larry B. Kraft, former IRS agent, special agent Joe Bannister, WTP chairman Bob Schultz, or I said Ed Schultz, I'm sorry, it's Bob Schultz, and others affiliated with the tax honesty movement who have developed a substantial body of documentary evidence that conclusively proves that present federal income tax is an unlawful, constitutionally prohibited, direct, unapportioned tax on the labor of American citizens. See, extremism in America. Okay. Remember, I'm going to have D.V. Kidd on my show next Tuesday. So I'm going to get into this with her and get her views on it. You don't want to miss that show. Let me continue here. Again, isn't it amazing how one thing, all this stuff ties right into another? I keep having these guests on the show. I have Ted Pike on the show talking about the ADL. The next thing I know, the ADL is writing slams against D.V. Kidd, who I'm having on the show next week. Then you've got Karen Kwiatkowski, who's writing this article about our soldiers coming back from Iraq and, you know, what's happening to them and how they're treated. And then I've got Art Bernclau coming on to talk about how bad they're treated when they get back. It's almost like there's a power from above that's given this stuff to me. I don't know. All right, I'm rambling. Let's see. Why would the Israeli lobbied Anti-Defamation League take such a keen interest in defending the method by which the U.S. government collects its internal revenues? I don't know, but I've got a call. It'll be Randall in Texas. Randall, how you doing, buddy?
Hey, I think your show is just so interesting, nobody wants to call in and interrupt, and I hate to interrupt, but...
Hey, not a problem. I got 10 minutes left. Go for it.
Okay, well, what I'm just wanting to mention is that, you know, it's unbelievable what they have gotten away with and what they continue to get away with. However, I think we're seeing awakening and Republic, and many people are a big part of the awakening. And speaking of that, we are having a Truth Seekers meeting, and it's not only Truth Seekers, it's kind of a Patriots meeting of everybody Tuesday night over at the bookstore in Brave New Books.
Over in Austin?
Yes.
Okay.
Are you in the Austin area, or where are you from?
Well, I was from Phoenix, but I'm live from Round Rock, Texas, partner.
Oh, all right. Well, you might be in town then Tuesday.
Tuesday? What time Tuesday?
7 o'clock at Brave New Books, and it's 1904 Guadalupe, which is at kind of the corner of the MLK and Guadalupe, which is in the university area. And
Randall, let me stop you. Let me hold you over, okay? I got a break coming up, but I'll hold you over. Michael Herzog, American Awakening, republicbroadcasting.org, and 12180 Shortwave. We'll be back in a few with Randall.
Can you grow your own nutrition on a shelf indoors in 10 days? Wheatgrass juice is live superfood, the richest nutritional liquid known to man, packed with amino acids, living enzymes, and over 100 elements. 2 ounces of juice have the same nutrition as 3 pounds of choice garden produce. Call 1-877-699-4328. That's 1-877-MY-WHEAT. The stamina, healing, blood building, weight control, and cleansing are just the beginnings of what you will reap from pennies worth of grain. For the book, seed, and the beautiful stainless steel hand crank wheatgrass juicer for $150 plus shipping. No monthly pills, no monthly bills. This is real self-sufficiency. Go to AustinWheatgrass.com or call toll-free 1-877-MY-WHEAT. That's 1-877-699-4328. And thank you for your support of our labors and of the RBN Network.
Are you paying exorbitant amounts of interest to your mortgage lender? We as Americans have been led down a path of paying excessive amounts of interest to the lending institutions. Stop paying tens of thousands of dollars in mortgage interest and start saving. Our financial experts have spent 2 years and about $2 million on a revolutionary interest reduction solution that will show you how to pay off 100% of your mortgage and other debt in as little as 8 to 11 years with no change to your current lifestyle or spending habits, no increase to your monthly mortgage payments, no refinancing, and no out-of-pocket expense. That's right. Take 19 to 22 years off your 30-year mortgage. This is not a bi-weekly payment program or a debt roll-down program. It's much more. Sound too good to be true? Find out just how good. Visit interestreductionsolutions.com or call 1-800-281-5094. That's 1-800-281-5094. Ask about our free DVD and financial analysis report.
Americans will already realize our nation is in deep trouble, need special edition hard copy literature to awaken the widest possible spectrum of people to the imminence of our nation's peril. The Artificially Sweetened Times informs people that the artificial sweetener aspartame is a hidden addiction killing people worldwide with a cluster of symptoms we now call Rumsfeld's disease. Find out who's responsible for unleashing this weapon of mass misery on the world and become part of the global movement to eliminate this neurotoxic drug from our food supply. The People's Income Tax Guide cites congressional records, Supreme Court decisions, and newspaper articles at the time to prove conclusively that wages were never intended to be taxed as income. A lot has happened in the world since 9/11. The report of the Citizens Commission on 9/11 disproves the government's explanation of September 11 through a careful analysis of the evidence. The Artificially Sweetened Times, the People's Income Tax Report, and the report of the Citizens Commission on 9/11 are priced for mass distribution. Sample copies are just $3. Call 208-255-2307 or go to idaho-observer.com.
Not ready to back down. We got 4 minutes left, and we got Randall on the line. Go ahead, Randall.
I won't take much more of your time. What we want to discuss is basically our title is Hatfield and McCoy's Keep the Peace. The revenuers are coming.
Okay.
And
Simon, tell me what part of Austin is Guadalupe? Is that south, north, east, or west? Or
kind of Midtown West.
All right, Midtown West.
Yeah, it'll be Alf 35. Go west on MLK, and you'll cross. It runs north and south.
Okay.
You're not familiar with it. The river names are named after the rivers in the state of Texas, and those rivers' names start from east to west, just like they do in Texas. So just pull out a map of Texas and start looking for rivers.
Okay, no guarantees, but I may get down there. Depends on what I got going on. I have a lot to do after the show. So anyway, yeah, okay.
Well, I'd be looking forward to meeting you, and welcome aboard.
How many people normally show up?
Well, this is going to be, to answer your question, anywhere from 25 to 200, but...
I've heard of this store. I've heard of this bookstore.
Great. You've got to go there sometimes, mm-hmm. and everybody needs to go there. And they have every video, and if they don't have it, I think they'll get it. But I'll tell you what, they've got videos and books and newspapers. Plan to spend at least an hour just looking around.
Okay. Well, thanks a lot for the call, Randall. I'll put it on my calendar.
All right, sir. That's
all right.
Tuesday.
Thank you. All right, Tuesday. Yeah, I got it.
Yeah.
In answer to his question about, you know, what's going on, I mean, the magnitude of this, to try to even try to give somebody a competent overview of what's happening to this, to us as a nation and as a people in 2 hours is just, you know, it's literally impossible. And you have to follow along because it's like I say, it's like, have you ever tied paper clips together, you know, and the line of paper clips just keeps bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger? All these things tie in, you know. Debbie Kidd and the ADL and Art Burncloud and Karen Kwiatkowski. I mean, it's just like I'm going in segments and I feel like I'm tying paper clips together. It's unbelievable. Okay, well, let's see. Where was I? What have I got? 2 minutes left. I can't even finish this, guys. You know what? Why would the lobby attempt to publicly demonize American citizens who are properly exercising their right to free speech and the right to petition the government for redress of grievances as expressly guaranteed in the United States Constitution and the Bill of Rights? Why would the lobby concern itself with the extremists? Exactly. What they're talking about here is why would the ADL, you know, a propaganda arm of the B'nai B'rith, concern themselves with a tax movement? Excuse me. Well, they would concern themselves with anything that takes away any funding that they may get from us, you know, the taxpayers. It's just interesting that they stick their nose into places like this, the We the People Foundation, for, you know, what you would think would be no apparent reason. But it looks like Ted Pike was right, and that is that these people, as far as an intelligence arm, make the CIA look like, what did he say that was? Tinker Toys, that's right. And you know what? The more I go down the rabbit hole on that one, the more I believe it. I talked to Ted today, by the way, and he gave me some websites to go into to see some of his videos. See if I can find them here, and I'll give them to you. I watched one of them, and it was fascinating. Oh, yeah, just go into Google. If you want to know about Ted Pike, look for The Other Israel, Why the Mideast Bleeds, and... I can't read the other one. Anyway, this is Michael Herzog, The American Awakening, end of Thursday. Thank you for listening, and stay tuned for my friend and yours, John Stadtmiller, with a National Intel Report, who, by the way, is here today and is ready to come on. See you tomorrow.